Hello and Merry Christmas. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. As you snuggle up to watch your favorite Christmas films later today, do you even notice the commercials? The BBC's Victoria Craig has been finding out how much it costs to spread commercial cheer and if it's even working.
There are some holiday ads you don't forget. The Hershey's Kiss that breaks a sweat ringing the final notes of We Wish You a Merry Christmas. The Coca-Cola Polar Bears and their winter shenanigans. And of course, red and green M&Ms seeing Santa in the flesh.
So you think Santa will like these red and green M&Ms?
I don't know. I never met the guy. He does exist!
They do exist.
They're certainly memorable, but how much does it cost to ink these brands in your mind? In the UK, retailers will spend a record $8 billion this holiday season on advertising. By comparison, it's projected US retailers spent $6 billion just on digital advertising during the Black Friday and Cyber Monday weekend. That's even as the global retail sector continues to struggle against the weight of e-commerce. Graham Page, a managing director at brand consultancy Cantor Millard Brown, says the critical shopping season demands higher spending now more than ever.
That's one of the reasons why we're seeing levels of spend increase. And it's also one of the reasons, I think, why we're seeing a little bit more kind of product-focused advertising this year. In recent times, we've seen a lot of ads which take a more emotional approach to building both sales and brands. We still see that this year, but there's a bit more product focus, I think, as people are really trying to get their offers in front of people at a critical time.
So, did it work? Gemma Phillips is a 37-year-old mother of two who says the ads have always been a highlight of the Christmas season.
They were magical, especially around Christmas time. And the Coca-Cola advert, that kind of signifies that Christmas is coming, and I love that. And I used to love it when I was growing up.
This year, she did most of her shopping online. It's a place many brands have focused their attention on targeted ads tailored to people based on their browsing history. It's supposed to increase sales because it gives people exactly what they want on platforms they're already visiting.
So I'm looking at my Facebook feed now, and I'm just looking at Wish Shopping Made Fun.
And for Gemma, the targeted ads worked better this year than the high-dollar TV commercials.
I see the most sort of adverts on apps, probably on Facebook, actually. And they're the ones that I kind of stop and look at and then, you know, scroll across.
The key for her is making shopping simple and easy.
I shop what's convenient to me at the time, which doesn't involve spending hours of my weekend shopping. The easy thing to do is to go on my phone and click an app. And 5 minutes later, I've done my shopping. It's in the basket. It gets delivered to my door.
Despite its effectiveness and an expected 12% rise in digital ad spending this year, though, Cantor's Graham Page says TV ads are still the backbone of many ad strategies.
Video really offers a way of telling a story that perhaps other channels can't. And certainly we still see that those sorts of video approaches tell the overall narrative that then other ads spin from. The companies that have told a big story have then also backed that up with other spots that are using some of that creative device.
In the end, it all comes down to where retailers can reach consumers and convince them to open their pocketbooks for just one more gift. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Most stock markets around the world are closed for Christmas Day, but we still have some stats compiled by Adobe Analytics up our sleeve. $110 billion, that's a record amount of spending done in the U.S. online by mid-December, a whopping 17.8% increase from last year. Now, apart from movies and shopping, food is paramount this time of year. Small, artisanal producers are working hard to offer something a little special, as the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson reports.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Carlo Melchior, a Swiss-born chocolatier, has a tiny chocolate factory and shop. He makes truffles, whole chocolate bars, and my personal favourite, liqueur chocolates.
We've got some machines here, but which I bought many years ago. I stopped using them because all the chocolate going through them, they all look the same, really. I like the fact they look really handmade. That's what we sell, handmade chocolate.
Do you think you'll be able to keep your production methods the same? Because it really is a cottage industry, isn't it?
I think we can do, because there are quite a number of people now who want that kind of goods. They come here because they know we make it on the site. They want something a bit different.
They know that some...
Of course, uniqueness often comes with a price. Carlet's liqueur chocolates come out at just over a dollar each. But small-scale manufacturers like Sandra McLaren say the price reflects what goes into the product. Her family-sized Christmas puddings, that's a boozy fruitcake-like dessert, serve 8 people and sell for roughly $30.
Our regular customers like to know they've got something that's very traditional, like Grandma used to do.
How do you compete with the supermarkets?
We don't really compete with the supermarkets. Our customers come back each year, and really that's how our Christmas pudding business has evolved over 15 years. We sell Christmas puddings to Hong Kong, Thailand, France, Italy, the States.
Have increasing food prices and food inflation affected the business at all?
We really don't want to put our Christmas pudding prices up, but as everyone knows, all good ingredients have had a price rise. It's a joy to know that everybody's eating their Christmas pudding on Christmas Day, and we get emails and we get little videos just saying, oh, we've had your Christmas pudding and how much we enjoyed it.
So as it turns out, in an era where low-cost shopping usually wins out, there are areas where people are still willing to pay a little bit more for a personal touch. In London, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson for Marketplace.
Well, enjoy that food and drink today. Have a great Christmas, everyone. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.